Good evening, friends. This is Clodagh Bellotto coming to you from Windsor, Connecticut. And it's on my heart today to share a little bit about The Remnant. This may end up being a series, but at this point I'm not going to promise that. But I do feel I have a quickened word about the subject of The Remnant. And let me just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we'll always be hungry for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Anybody who has had any Bible study background has probably heard the phrase, and I think I've used it before, which is the law of first reference. And the law of first reference simply means that when you look a subject up in your Bible or a word up in your Bible, the first place it appears is usually pretty important. And so the first place the remnant, the word remnant, appears in the Bible is actually in the book of Genesis. And because it has to do with Joseph and his brethren and his father Jacob, I'm going to call this message Joseph's Remnant. And you don't see the word, except for that you look the word up in your Strong's, you don't realize, or in other versions, you don't realize that this word actually means remnant. But I'm going to read it to you in just one verse. I'm going to read it to you from Genesis 45. I'm going to read it in the King James Version, and then in the Amplified Classic Version, and then in the Message, simply because the Message is so colorful. So here we go. "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Genesis 45:7. And the word posterity does mean remnant. You'll see that here in the Amplified Version. "God sent me before you to preserve for you a posterity, and to continue a remnant on the earth, to save your lives by a great escape, and save for you many survivors." And then the Message Version, it says, "God sent me on ahead to pave the way and make sure there was a remnant in the land to save your lives in an amazing act of deliverance." And people have different views on this subject or the remnant message. And there has been damage done to the message and a misconception of the remnant message. The remnant is not some exclusive club of those who are better than the rest of the church. In actuality, if you trace the remnant through the Bible, and we'll do that a little bit here and there, but probably not tonight because this is just going to be a short exhortation. The remnant is simply what's left over of a people who have been held captive, and the ones who escape the captivity are the ones who are called to turn their faces back to God or to come back to Jerusalem. They're the remnant, and they're through the Bible. There's what's called the, and I don't remember where I saw this phrase, but I'm sure it did not originate with me. But there's a phrase that is the heavenly blue waters of the remnant stream. You always see throughout the scripture there's a remnant of people who are always coming out, always called unto the Lord. And that's the remnant. But there's one little principle in the very first book in the Bible about the remnant. And now this is not, you know, this isn't a people who are coming back from exile or coming out of a war or a group of people left over. But this is simply Jacob's family. And you know the story of Jacob and the story of Joseph, how that Joseph was having some dreams and he didn't handle those wisely. And then on top of that, his father gave him a coat of many colors because he was the son of a very beloved wife, Rachel. And so he just had a special in with his father. And this created jealousy in his brothers. And they sold him into slavery because of their jealousy. They sold him into slavery. And some of the brothers wanted to kill him, but his oldest brother prevailed upon them just to throw him in a pit. And then a group of people came along. I think they were called the Sabians. And they grabbed him and they sold him. And he became a slave in Egypt. And eventually he found favor until he was exalted to second in the kingdom. And he interpreted dreams for the Pharaoh. And the interpretation of the dreams caused him to land a job as being over Egypt in a time of famine. So he was appointed over all the granaries, and he was the one who was appointed in charge to mete out the grain and mete out the food so that people wouldn't starve. And that was his place. Now, years had passed, years and years had passed since his brothers sold him into slavery. And now, meanwhile, back on the ranch with Jacob and the brothers, the sons of Jacob, they were suffering from the famine because it was throughout the world, and Egypt was the place where you needed to go to get grain so that you could make your bread or so that you could have food. And so we need to backtrack to Genesis 42, verses 1 through 3. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, and let me just interject here that the story of Joseph is probably one of the most powerful stories in the Bible and has such prophetic undertones. And I don't know anybody who is really a heart seeker after God that hasn't had a little bit of a Joseph trial or a Joseph lesson or something to do with Joseph bearing down on their spirit in their walk with the Lord. So it's a very important story to know. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do you look one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. And then you would need to read the 42nd, 43rd, 44, and 45th chapters of Joseph's story in the book of Genesis. Let's go back to the seventh verse, which this is when Joseph has finally revealed himself to his brethren, and he tells them, he's reassuring them, he's comforting them, he's letting them know that God was in everything that had happened, everything bad that they had done to him, everything that had befallen him, the Lord was in all of it, and he gives the credit to God. He says, "God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, that's a remnant in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." What, and they were called the remnant. What was the characteristic of the remnant in this story? In Joseph's remnant, what was the characteristics? What made them the remnant? What caused them to be a remnant? And I believe it's the first thing. If you're going to consider yourself a part of a remnant that is seeking hard after the Lord, that wants to go a little bit further with God, it's not that you think you're better than other Christians. It's not that you've separated yourself to be part of something that's elite. The first thing that happens in the heart of a person who is part of the remnant is they realize they are hungry. They see the spiritual condition of famine. They see the condition of just not being fed and just maybe just a little bit of pablin or a weak word, no anointing. The prophet Amos warns of a famine in the land, not of bread of water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. The first thing a remnant person realizes is not their exclusivity, not that they have more revelation knowledge, not that they've got a special calling above others, but they're driven by a hunger for the Lord. That's the first thing that qualifies you to be part of the remnant. You are driven for a hunger for the Lord. You can't get enough. You can't get enough time in His presence. You can't not get enough time in the Scriptures. You can't get enough time with others of like precious faith who are feeling the same heart cry that you are, that it's just not enough. We need more of Jesus, more of Him, more of the Lord. There's a hunger. There's a hunger that causes you to seek Him out. It's not just enough to just be fed in a Sunday morning service or a Wednesday night service, but there's something to you, in you gravitating toward the Word, gravitating toward the Lord. If you got that kind of a heart, no doubt you're a part of the remnant. And is that so bad? I mean, is that some evil false doctrine? I don't think so. I think it's good to be hungry for God. I think it's good to want to go all the way with Him. I think it's good to want to not be just a 30-fold or a 60-fold, but to want to be a 100-fold Christian. I think it's good to want full maturity. I think it's good to want more than just the ear and the blade and the full corn in the ear. I think it's good to want to go all the way to the full corn in the ear. This is the first thing about the remnant. The remnant recognizes they are in famine and they are hungry and they want to live and not die. Did you ever feel like I'm withering, I'm dying, I'm so hungry, there's no fresh word here, I need something? I remember years ago being in a church where people would drive for hours to be in a Sunday night service. And I'm not talking about just one visited, you know, visit every few months. There were those that did that. But there were certain ones who every single Sunday, they would drive 2 or 3 hours to church because they were hungry. And they knew there was a word of God. They knew there was seed. They knew there was grain. They knew there was a storehouse. And praise God, let Him lead you to a brother. Let Him lead you to a servant of the Lord. Let Him lead you to a man of God that's over the storehouse, that knows how to give meat in due season. Have the ear to hear a father that has enough sense to say, let's not just sit here till we die. Let's not just die. Let's live and not die. I've heard there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. Now, there's a lot to be said. Some of the most beautiful passages of Scripture are Scriptures about the remnant, glorious Scriptures. God has glorious things for a remnant people. They're the people that are going to be used of him. As the saviors on Mount Zion, clothed in His righteousness and able to bring deliverance, it'll be a glorious thing to be part of the remnant that experiences the fullness of the calling. But the first place we start is we have to develop that hunger. And you know, spiritual hunger will give you food that's right for you. It will feed you from the Word of God, the message you need to hear. If the message we need to hear is about being humbled in His presence, that's the message. That's the food He'll give us. If the message we need to hear is that we're so weak and beat down and beat up by the cares of life and you know, whatever comes our way, be it from man or beast or whatever, that's the word God will give you. Not a word to elevate you in pride, But if the Lord knows you need something that's going to lift up your head and cause your hands to be lifted up, then that's the word he's going to send. And if others look at it and say, oh, that's just that elitist teaching, don't even get sucked into the drama. Just get your face toward him. There's one scripture, and I can't remember where it was, and I'll probably share on it at some point, but it was talking about the remnant turning their face away from the battle, away from everything that was going on to cause distress and misery and heartache, to turn their faces toward the Lord. The remnant people are a people who are hungry and have their face toward the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Develop your spiritual hunger so you can have God's very best, so you don't miss out. Develop your spiritual hunger and don't ever get in the place where you're not hungry. The first thing about being part of the remnant, first place it's mentioned in the Bible, first place the word remnant is used in the Bible, it had to do with hunger. It had to do with a people being hungry, and the Lord using his servant Joseph, who happened to be their brothers, to say, this is God, because he wants to preserve a posterity in the earth by a mighty and a great deliverance. The key to mighty and great deliverance in the earth starts with a hungry people, a people who are hungry for God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you right now. I praise your name, Lord, that you've put within my heart a hunger for you. Lord, I pray, God, that even though you satisfy, Lord, that God, there will always be that thing within me that keeps wanting to come back to the table for more. And I pray that, Lord, this word will impart unto those who are the listeners, unto those who have maybe misunderstood the remnant message, Lord, as a message of exclusivism or elitism, that, Lord, it is not that, but it is about a people in the earth who just long for you a little bit more, want to go a little bit further, want to spend a little bit more time with you, Lord, and that just the status quo is not enough. Father, we just thank you for this goodness, for your goodness, and we pray, God, that your hand would rest upon this word to do with it as you will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus and you're wondering about this remnant, the first thing you need to do is just be part of the whole cloth. The word remnant is what's left over. You go to the fabric store and you see there's a table with remnants, and it means that pieces of fabric that have been cut off of a bolt, or they're left over from a bolt, and they're just selling, putting them on sale. But before you can ever be a part of remnant, before a piece of cloth can be a part of a remnant, it's got to be a part of the full bolt. And so the first thing you need to do is become part of the body of Christ, part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way you do that is by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is God and that the Lord raised him from the dead. Let's just read it in Romans, I think. I'm going to just read the scripture to you. Romans. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I always feel like I'm not quoting the scripture verse quite right. Thank you, Lord. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And of course, Jesus said to Nicodemus, when he asked how he could enter the kingdom of God, he said, ye must be born again. And we know that Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the very first thing you need to do before you embark on the remnant journey is you need to just get simply saved. So right now, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I do confess with my mouth, Lord, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. And I ask you into my heart, I ask you to cleanse me of my sins. Wash me, Lord, make me clean. Help me to repent of anything that I need to repent of, Lord. And we know that just means I need to change my mind and go your direction, go the way you lead instead of the way my flesh leads. And I thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you that I'm becoming part of your family. I thank you, Lord, that you'll lead me in a plain path and bring me to those who know the truth and will teach me the principles of God and who will give me the sincere milk of the word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Till next time. Amen.